If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, this is RJ Harvey. You're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap, here with Cody Carpentier for the Week 11 Fantasy Football Preview Show, where we're going to go through every game on the main slate, talk to you about our favorite fantasy plays, what we're doing as far as our sit starts, questions that we're getting from our pro members at rosterwatch.com who are asking their own sit start questions at this critical juncture of the season, injury news, updates, weather, DFS picks, and of course, player props. And speaking of player props, make sure to go to rosterwatch.com. Check out Rosterwatch Premium, where you can get access to all of our player props for the week. I think we have like 18 in there right now. You can use the new Hyper Picks, the DFS like pick 'em slip generator, to where you can choose between anywhere from like 1 to 18. You can pick all 18 and it'll just give them to you. But if you want to just go in and say you wanted to go on Prize Picks and make like 10 $5 lineups to each pay out 10x or whatever, you would just have it say, okay, give me four of these and just randomly click generate. It'll give you four, go into Prize Picks, put them in. Sometimes the lines will be a little bit different because we put them in throughout the week. So some of them, we got Jalen Warren at 73.5 rushing yards, for example. I think now it's sitting at close to 78.5. I still like it there, but just make sure you're checking the tool throughout the week. But a lot of the lines are still good right now. And that's with the premium membership at rosterwatch.com. So go check that out. All right, Cody, let's go to our first game here. And we'll start with the Carolina Panthers at the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons here are 3.5-point favorites at home in this 42.5 over under. Speaking of the premium section at rosterwatch.com, the premium downloads widgets here for our betting insights. We have 44% of the tickets on the Panthers plus 3.5 and 45% of the money. So basically a slight majority of bettors and a slight majority of the money here on the Falcons. As far as the over under here, we have 59% of the tickets on the over 42.5, 56% of the money. So nothing unusual there at all. That actually looks very, very, very balanced. As far as just this game, we have the, as far as injuries, I guess Drake London, he's been on the injury report with an illness in a back. It seems like he's been limited in practice, though. I think he'll be fine. I'm curious to hear what you think, though, about in this game, just, you know, how you see the action playing out with, especially with Rico Dowdle. It feels like he's, at this point, he's just dusted Chuba Hubbard. Do you think it continues? It was like 80% of snaps last week. He out-touched Chuba 21-4. And then another thing that just kind of surprised me, I'd be interested to hear if it surprises you to hear this, that over the last 6 weeks, when I was running our last 6 weeks model earlier, I noticed that Tet McMillan has the third best on the whole slate of his last 6 weeks air yard percentage. He's only behind like JSN and Waddle as far as air yards. Does that feel like a misleading stat to you? What do you think of Dowdle? What do you think of Tet? What do you think about the Falcons side in this one, and how do you see the action playing out?
Well, first, I will say it kind of, but like when I was looking it up a couple of weeks ago, he was top eight or top nine in overall target share at 27%. So it kind of checks out. And you look at the weaponry that's been playing around for the better part of the year, it hasn't been great. He's getting Coker back the last couple of weeks, and it really hasn't done much. I wonder when that starts to kick in to a heavier degree. It's interesting. Since that Carolina-Atlanta game back in week three, the Falcons are 2-4 since that game. And the Panthers are 4-2 since that, or 4-3 since that game with the loss to New England, the Bills, and the Saints this last week. They should be 5-2 wins against the Packers and yada yada. It's kind of weird because coming into that game was the game that we thought, like, I think we actually took them in the circa picks. We're like, we like the Falcons going into Carolina. It's a good matchup, yada yada. And now we're a month and a half later, and it's like, people are questioning Michael Penix. People are questioning the Falcons. We think we have a good feel of their defense now, much better than we did of their offense at this current stage. As far as Rico Dowdle goes, like, he's healthy. He got into full practice yesterday, and I feel good about him. Still got him in the top 10. It's a top 10 matchup as far as that goes. The London thing, he's on the prop sheet for early game prop. So I like Drake London. Past that, though, in this game, like, of course, you got Bijan Robinson is going to be a top three option. Tedrone McMillan, the dynamic in Carolina right now. I think I put Coker. I ranked Coker ahead of Xavier Legette today. But it's they're still outside the wide receiver five, six area. Like 60-66 overall. It's like, it's just, there's nothing there. So
for all you 16 team leaguers out there that are having to face this kind of decision.
Dude, I'm in a couple leagues where it's like it's a mandatory start for receivers, right? And it's like, sometimes you're down there to that wide receiver that deep. You're talking like guys like Tyler Lockett, Chim DK, like on a weekly basis, you're like, I have to play one of these guys in certain situations where at like flex and dynasty and stuff. So I got to like Jalen Naylor at wide receiver 40. We'll talk about him later with the Vikings, but I was like, this feels like a really good wide receiver 4 this week after what we got last week. And it's like, yuck. But yeah, that's how I feel about Carolina. It's not a great matchup for Carolina in the receiving game either. So I don't think this is going to be a 30-0 game like it was in week 3 for either direction. I think it's going to be a lot closer than that. A lot more defensive, and I wonder how healthy Drake London is going to be and what that kind of does to this offense and if it kicks into Kyle Pitts a little bit.
I think if Drake London is not healthy, then that just – I think that weirdly that's good for Rico Dowdle. Do you know what I mean? I think it is.
More game control, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like it's my buddy TJ was talking about that on the Blitz earlier. He's like, man, if Drake London's out or something, it makes me love Dowdle even more this week, because if you look at the matchup tool for our pro members here at Roster Watch, like, I know people make fun of saying something's a run funnel or all the rest of it, but it's like, it's pretty clear to see that, you know, like, before these things were called run funnels or whatever, you know, we started making the matchup tool 15 years ago. And if something's like bright blue for the running backs and it's dark red for the quarterbacks and the wide receivers and the tight ends, we were always like, you know, there's something going on there. Right. Mm-hmm. So good spot here for Rico Dowdle for sure. All right, let's go to the next game here. Let's go to Tampa Bay at Buffalo with this game here. As far as the betting insights, we have Tampa Bay right now is 6-point underdogs traveling to Buffalo. We have 60% of the tickets on the Bucs, only 54% of the money. This game's sitting right now at a 48 over under. 68% of the tickets are on the over, 71% of the money. So everybody likes this game to go over. As far as the matchups here in this one, looking at the matchup tool, Buffalo in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is facing a middle of the road matchup across the board. Nothing sticks out as too good. Nothing sticks out as too bad. It's all completely median types of matchups. As far as what Tampa Bay faces in Buffalo, Buffalo's been a very good matchup for opposing running backs so far this season. And as far as, you know, the one spot that they've been really tough, it's been against opposing tight ends. The first note I have here is that this is from Kevin Roth on Roto Grinders about the weather. It looks to be a 15 to 20 mile per hour sustained gusting wind up to over 30 miles per hour. On top of that, we have a likely rain snow mix falling during the game. The winds alone are a bit of a problem for deep throws. That precipitation adds another issue for offensive efficiency. So there's something to keep in mind there as far as the weather, the rain, all the rest of it, right? I also neglected to mention, as far as from the injury report, we had hoped that maybe Bucky Irving and to a lesser degree, Chris Godwin might be able to go in this game. They both were ruled out early on Friday after logging limited practices all week. And Dalton Kincaid is out here in this game. With Kincaid being out, I saw Trash Man took a position on Khalil Shakir, which I'm generally not a huge fan of in these spots. And I worry a little bit about the rain and the wind and the passing game in here, but he has a pretty low number as far as his receiving yards total. And the more and more I looked into it, I'm like, all right, so there's no Dalton Kincaid that operates in the same kind of portions of the field that he does, right? And if you look at our last 6 weeks model, Shakir's had a 26% target share over the last 6 weeks. That's wide receiver 11 on the whole slate in target share. He's right there with Devontae Adams at 25%. He's just under CeeDee Lamb at 28%. He's also wide receiver 11 in first read percentage over that same period at 32%. So I think like 45.5 receiving yards against just a middling matchup.
That's a pretty good number.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's probably pretty good. My main questions for you is, this is a good matchup for the traditional run game. No Bucky Irving. Sean Tucker's outrushed Rashad White these last two games. Now, he's not playing as much. He's playing between 25-35% of snaps, but he's outrushed him. He's done better on the ground in the traditional run game. We know, though, that Rashad White does a whole lot catching balls out of the backfield. Buffalo can get after the quarterback. Maybe it's the stuff where it's kind of shorter passes. The wind can help with that, right? Maybe it bumps up Rashad White a little bit. And then as far as on the Bucs side, no Godwin. I guess if you need to, if you're in bye week desperation mode, if you have Olave or Pittman or something, can you keep rolling with Tez Johnson?
I think you can keep rolling with Tez Johnson. I worry about this game overall for Tampa. And that they came out of the bye and they had a game at home that they didn't really like have to have, because if you look at the landscape of the division right now in the NFC South, it's pretty manageable. I mean, they're going to have to box with Carolina down the stretch, but it's pretty manageable for Tampa to just kind of win this thing. They play Carolina twice down the stretch, but out of the bye, which they had in week 9, New England was at home. They lost by 5 at Buffalo, at Los Angeles Rams. You can easily drop those three games. You look at Buffalo right now, they're 9-0 at noon kickoff games since 2023.
And they're pissed off.
That's a stat from Clay Matthews on one of the shows he was doing. They just came off of an embarrassing loss to the Miami Dolphins last week. You bring up the Kincaid thing. Generally, you would think, all right, Kincaid's out, this is going to benefit Dawson Knox. It really doesn't. In historical games without Dalton Kincaid, he only jumps up from 2.1 to 3.4 targets per game. His receiving yards only go up from 16 to 27. He feels to me like more of a touchdown-dependent guy. It's always what he's always been, even though he got that big contract a year ago. Shakir is the one, though, that, like you brought up, you brought up the target share for Khalil Shakir. You bring up the last couple of weeks, 23%, 32%, 30%, 19%, 30%, 24%. He's only dropped below 11 fantasy points once in PPR in those last 7 weeks. So he's kind of been the guy, right? I think I wanted it to be a Keon Coleman. Dalton Kincaid started to turn the corner, and Khalil Shakir's been steady Eddie. And when you're looking at a game with 19, 18, 17 mile an hour winds, I want that guy underneath. And I think Shakir's going to do good kind of working all over in there. The other thing on the side of this game is Vita Vea. When you look at the practice reports, Vita Vea's banged up, should play, but it's a back injury. And when you're talking about going up here in a game that you're going to need to run a lot, or you should run a lot with the weather being like it is with wind, right? Wind's the biggest deal. Do you remember what the number was that was it Chris Allen that told us the weather, the wind degree that matters in like these Cleveland Buffalo games? I think it was like 11 or 12.
No. It's where the wind actually starts to be like detrimental, yeah, with the sustained wind. I think it was 18.
So we're right at it.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was a little bit lower than that. So we're right at it. So that's interesting. Vita Vea, I bring up Vita Vea. He's been limited all week, got a full practice in. It's a back injury. He's going to play. But again, this guy's, 380 whatever pounds, and he got down week 8 and a 57% snap share going into that bye week. Came out and had a 79%, was on the injury report this week. If he misses any time at all, they're also down an offensive guard, which is the other side of the ball for their running game, Ben Bredesen. But I think this is a situation where if Buffalo gets up early, they'll be able to run the ball on Tampa. And I think this is a horrible spot for them. But what does that usually mean for Baker Mayfield in the second half? It means you're going to get some fantasy points out of it. So hopefully we can get Godwin back in the next couple of weeks. But as far as this week goes, I do like Tez. Don't love him. I got him as a wide receiver, back in wide receiver 3, like 37th overall type of situation. Emeka Egbuka, I think, still sits in the top 10 overall. I think we as a consensus have him top 10 overall on that side. But yeah, Khalil Shakir is going to be, I think we're actually pretty mildly consensus with him as a back end wide receiver 2 as well this week.
Let's go to the Chargers at the Jacksonville Jaguars here next. We have this game is Jacksonville is getting 3 points at home in a 43.5 over under. We have 68% of the tickets on the Chargers minus 3 points, 76% of the money. So all the people, all the money is all on the Chargers here. As far as the over under, 42% of the tickets on the under here in this one, 36% of the money. So people think that this is Chargers and over. So they're expecting some fireworks here from the Chargers, I would think. As far as what the Chargers face going to Jacksonville, it's been Jacksonville's been a tiny bit tough lately against the run as far as what the matchup tool is telling us after it's been schedule adjusted. But a great matchup for opposing quarterbacks, great for opposing tight ends, very good for opposing wide receivers. As far as what Jacksonville will face in the Chargers here, just pretty tough, man, across the board. Brutal for opposing quarterbacks, bad for opposing wide receivers and tight ends, middling to a little bit bad for opposing running backs. So it's going to be Jacksonville that has the tough time here with this one if you're just looking from what the matchup tool believes from a pure matchup perspective. As far as the injuries, I've been keeping an eye on Brian Thomas Jr. I don't know if he's going to go or not. They said it was a high ankle sprain, but he sure seems to be back pretty soon for a high ankle sprain if he's looking like he might go. So unless, Cody, have you heard anything on BTJ? I just got done with the blitz, and so he might have – there could have been a report while I was on there.
I have not.
Okay. We're keeping an eye on Brenton Strange. His 21-day window was opened up, but he's been practicing, so who knows. Parker Washington has a hammy. He seems like he'll be fine. On the other side, Aronde Gadsden, at least I guess he avoided any major injury. That was just a contusion on his knee and not anything that was a big deal, although it did look bad. I was very scared when that play occurred for him. And then he's been practicing in full, though, all week. And then we've had Ladd McConkey and Quentin Johnston that have been limited all week. But today I saw that it was only Quentin Johnston lined out as questionable on the injury report coming into the weekend. So make sure and keep an eye out with him. I have questions on the – do you have full faith by now in Kamani Vidal? That's one thing. The other thing is, since the bye week, 27 and 20 opportunities for Travis Etienne here. So, you know, everybody likes to talk about the post-bye bump that rookies sometimes get. Bashaul Tuten just didn't get it. It's almost been the opposite. It's been the post-bye kind of Etienne bump for him. And then with Parker Washington, he's been awesome, but he's been banged up this week. You begin to wonder if Jacoby Myers – ends up kind of overtaking him or whether he's still a confident star for you. And just in general, any other angles you have here on this one?
Etienne's an interesting one. So two things. The last time these guys played, if you remember right, was that wild card game, January 2023. Chargers up 30-14. Jacksonville comes back and wins that game in the fourth quarter, 31-30. In that game, Travis Etienne rushed for 109 yards. Since his rookie season, he's only rushed for over 100 yards 5 times. Two of them on the road, two of them at home against Carolina, which obviously he grew up in Carolina.
And one internationally, I'm sure.
There's a narrative there. And one was that playoff game against the Chargers at home. So the only other 100-yard game he's had outside of playing the state or the team that's from the state he grew up in, Carolina, was against the Chargers. He rushed for 109 yards. Really stupid stat, but hey, it matters in the long term of nothing. I do trust and believe in Kamani Vidal. I think he showed it to us last week. Here's the thing. We worry about an overall workload for a guy of the stature of Kamani Vidal.
And his offensive line.
We saw – yeah, well, if you – Pat McAfee had a pretty great video this last week where he – they every on Sunday night when they did the PFF grade – Like, this guy's ranked 66th out of 67, 67th out of 60. He did the whole thing, and he's making fun of him. And it's like, listen, this cat, this Kamani Vidal running back from Troy, still had 25 for 95 on the ground. Like, still got the carry, still got the work in. They may not be great, but listen, he can run the football. And that was never really the worry with him. People worry because of his undersized running back, but we literally saw it from Austin Eckler in the same jersey, you know, for the last decade. And Vidal took on 300 touches his last year, 328 or something like that, touches his last year at Troy. So I think they're just going to keep on working him until Amari Hampton's back. And I think it's going to be some sort of irritating split for both guys as far as our fantasy stuff goes. When the fantasy playoffs do get here, I bumped up this week. I just did this in the last hour. I think I bumped up Keenan Allen. He came out good in the modeling. I like Keenan Allen this week. The other question you brought up was, God, you go through a lot of names. Parker Washington. Parker Washington has been one that I came down on earlier in the week. Obviously, he's banged up a little bit. I thought Strange was going to be back. I thought Strange was going to be back in this game. So I bumped Parker Washington down. He had a season-high route participation at 94% this last week. He's been double-digit fantasy points each of the last 3 weeks.
He looks good, though, if you just watch. I mean, it's undeniable that he looks like a really good player.
Oh, I love Parker. I mean, I've loved Parker Washington since he came out of Penn. Like, he's been one of my favorite guys, and going down there watching him at camp, like, that's not even been a question for me. It's more of like, I thought Strange was going to be back. Like, they made it sound like on Monday, Tuesday, that Strange was going to be activated, and it doesn't look like he's going to be now in the back half of the week. And if Parker plays, I'm going to have to bump him up again. We haven't really seen much of anything that is positive about Brian Thomas. So I think what that might open the door for is Jacoby Myers.
I don't know. I mean, I truly don't. It's a completely different style. It's a completely different style of offense than he's played for his entire career.
But it's like de facto targets, though. It's like if Parker's banged up, no Strange, no Thomas.
Yeah, but
you think De'Ami Brown's going to go out there and you know,
does Parker
12 targets?
Is Parker going to come into the game questionable? I haven't seen the official injury report come out. I just know that he's been limited with the hamstring.
Yeah,
so we'll see. I think Washington plays.
Is DNP on Wednesday, limited on Thursday? It's a hamstring, so it's soft tissue. That's just the whole bottom line with
it. But they said that he was at practice at least on Friday. So it's like a DNP, LP. I think he'll probably play. All right, next game here. Let's go to the Bears at the Vikings. We have this one. The Vikings are basically 3-point favorites here at home. Between a 47.5 and a 48.5 over under, depending on where you look. We have 38% of the tickets on the Vikings -3, 28% of the money. So the public and the money all on the Bears here with the points. We have the over under, 53% of the tickets are on the under, 78% of the money on the under. So definitely that's the first kind of sharp lean that we've seen here, is people think that game could go under that 48.5. That's probably why we're seeing it at 48.5 on Caesars and stuff, but FanDuel now has kicked that thing down to 47.5 just to maybe offset some of the money coming in on the under there for that one. For me, the main things I think about coming into this game, it's really three things. It's about these running backs, about DeAndre Swift and Aaron Jones. They both seem to have overtaken as far as their usage, pretty dominating RB1 roles, like very, very clear 1A roles over their counterparts. And Jordan Mason and Kyle Manungai. And then just Justin Jefferson. I know that you grew up as a Vikings fan. You probably watched that game pretty closely. As somebody that asked Justin Jefferson and a lot of, you know, and as somebody that does this for my profession, I have to watch the games. But certainly whenever it hits you hardest in the gut whenever you have one of these guys on one of your more important squads or one of your higher buy-in squads. And in a game you got to win. And with Jefferson last week, I was in that spot. And I was just like, gosh, they are so close. They're this close. And it's not just on one. It wasn't just on the touchdown. It was on all these deep go balls, these patterns where Justin Jefferson always catches those. Some of it almost looked like it was Jefferson's fault on some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not used to catching the ball from McCarthy. But there was some wherever it was McCarthy's fault. It's been frustrating these last 3 weeks with Justin Jefferson. You got to keep playing him though, right?
Of course. Yeah. You're never going to not play Justin Jefferson. He's on a cold streak right now. I don't think he's ever had a cold streak of more than five games where he didn't go over 100 yards. He's got a bevy of situations where he's went four games without going over 100. He's in his fourth game without going over 100 yards. His five-game streak came the last two games of last year and the front three of this year. So it's not a great 10-game sample size here for Justin Jefferson, the last 10, but he's also dealing with another new quarterback in J.J. McCarthy. The benefit is the target share hasn't really went anywhere. 39% week one with the against the Bears coming from J.J. McCarthy. The last few games, 39%, 39%, 35%. The target share is still there. He posted on his Instagram, I think it was last night or the night before, about getting back to 2023 or getting back to 2022 Justin Jefferson, which I think we would all love to see.
I love that. Yeah.
There's nothing better than the wide receiver social media dead cat bounce. It's like layup. All right, like the AJ Brown thing this week. I was like, all right, I'm gonna go put the first quarter yards in here. Yep, lock it in. This is easy. Yeah, I think you just keep playing the Jefferson thing. This is the indoor game in Minnesota. Backs against the wall for the Vikings. Bears are on a 6-1 streak here since week two. Week one, week two, they lost to the Vikings and Lions, and they're 6-1 since. One of the hottest teams in the sport. The Vikings on a cold stretch here, losing three of the last four. As far as fantasy goes, I moved up Jordan Mason today. The injury is still question marks. Holding around Aaron Jones, he's going to play in this game. He's questionable with an AC joint in the shoulder, which is something he struggled with for a bulk of the last 5 years of his career.
Didn't he have it last week?
He's always had it, what I'm saying. And the thing is, like, I think they need more Jordan Mason. This offensive line has been so inconsistent this year. You look at the utilization. He went up to 72% last week. His season high in snaps did Aaron Jones. And Jordan Mason dropped down to 23%. I think that's going to even back out. Like, this is the discrepancies as far apart as it's been all year. And we see it, like I said, Aaron Jones has been limited the last couple of days. I anticipate he's going to be limited on Friday. And I think that's going to allow Jordan Mason to get back in there a little bit more against this Bears team that in week one, he scored 8.5 fantasy points, took 57% of the snaps when Aaron Jones had 47%. Jones ran 52% of the routes in that game, had 17% target share. I think he had four receptions in that game. That was JJ's debut game. Injuries across the board. They just had Christian Darrisaw pop up last night. He was a full on Wednesday, DNP on Thursday. I didn't see the clarification if that was just rest. It's not notated that it was a non-injury or it was DNP knee, which we know he's been dealing with the knee all year. That's their all pro left tackle. Their left guard right guard got back in Will Fries. So the offensive line getting healthy, we'll see. Like Naylor, I talked about earlier, back end wide receiver four. My thought for you was past the Dunze on the Chicago side. Like, I feel a little bit better about DJ in this game.
I don't.
You don't feel any better about DJ?
No.
Are you more Burden or like Loveland or what's the?
I don't.
Who's your highest rank? So I think I have DJ as the highest ranked next receiver on that offense.
I mean, I always have DJ Moore fairly buried because that's where he deserves to be right now.
So as a consensus right now, we have Adunze at about wide receiver 17, Moore's at 43, then it's Zacchaeus.
I mean, what do you – like all of this – I mean, we're talking about a guy that's like – yeah, like all of this stuff is bad. The stuff that I look at that I care about is like – over the last six games, a 16% target share, a 23% air yard share, 1.62 yards per route run, 17% first read percentage, for averaging last six games just over five targets a game. And the only thing that looks kind of good is the routes. It's like 76%, but that's not great for a wide receiver. That's good. That's pretty good for a tight end. You know what I mean? I mean.
Historically, I know this is not all coming with Adunze, but historically Moore has done very well in Minnesota. So he had 8 for 46 last year, 8 receptions on 8 targets for 46 yards, 11 receptions on 13 targets for 114, and then 5 receptions on 13 targets for 73 yards. He's historically done well in Minnesota in his three times there.
Okay. I don't know, man. I'm not in. I don't know where their production is going to come.
I think this is going to be a high scoring game.
Well, maybe we finally get the Luther Burden breakout or something, or Colston Loveland racks off a big one. Let's go to the Green Bay Packers at the New York Giants here. We have the Giants as 7-point underdogs at home versus the Packers. 59% of the tickets here are on the Packers. 60% of the money, the over-under, sitting at 43.5 as far as the roster watch matchup tool. The Giants here face tough matchups across the board against the Packers. Nothing good, nothing stands out, whereas the Green Bay Packers face great matchups across the board positionally at the quarterback, running back, wide receiver, middling at the tight end position for the Packers here at the Giants. I feel like, personally, it feels to me like I think Josh Jacobs is back healthy. I think he's back healthy again. I feel like we don't have to worry quite as much about this Emmanuel Wilson stuff as we did maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago after what I saw out of him last week. Other stuff that's like injury related would be that Jameis gets the start, of course. Obviously, that makes a big deal on a whole lot of stuff. Darius Slayton not expected to play, which will have ramifications on Wandale, because their wide receiver two right now is probably going to be Gunnar Olszewski. Is there anything like Gunnar Olszewski on Prize Picks?
Like, man, you're just throwing Jalen Hyatt under the bus, aren't you?
They just don't play him. They don't play him.
I put Jalen Hyatt in a couple of fast draft lineups.
Okay, so Watson and Golden were both set to practice Friday, so I think they're both going to come into this week questionable for those guys. So with the Giants, we have a new head coach in Mike Kafka. I wonder if he could change things up at all, maybe do things different. It feels like he is. He's putting in Jameis. You know what I mean? He's like
We talked about it on Tuesday that they should.
Yeah. I think he's probably not going to play Devin Singletary much. I think if I had Tracy, I'd feel more comfortable playing him this week. And then my question is about Theo Johnson. It's a good matchup. Was that the dark connection with him? Because since Neighbors went down, he's had a 21% target share. And no, I mean, I think Theo Johnson's a good guy to play this week. But I wonder if it's like with Jameis back there slinging it. It's almost like, well, if he did just have the connection with Dart down there in the red zone or whatever, the fact that Jameis throws just all the YOLO balls probably makes up for that. How do you see the action playing out here?
Yeah, that's the one narrative I think I can tell myself from the Giants side of scoring points is that if Jameis has that vintage Jameis, just like you said, YOLO game, YOLO situation where he gets thrusted in there. The last couple times we've seen it, he was with Cleveland last year against Kansas City, 16 for 25, 146, 3 picks. Pittsburgh, 2 picks. Denver, 3 picks. Pittsburgh, 1 pick. New Orleans, none. Chargers, 3 picks. Like, it hasn't been great. Like, he's thrown picks in like 5 of the last 7 games he's played last year for the Browns. And the Browns had a little bit better weaponry. And that's not saying a lot because the Browns don't have great weaponry. I think Jameis is going to
play that game when he said, "Lord, deliver me from pick sixes." He's just the dude. James is going to go on to like run a mega church, dude. It's like people are going to love to go listen to his sermons.
I hope he plays long enough to get that interception total to equal his touchdown total. That's what I think he's like 30 away, 33 away from getting the interceptions to equal the touchdowns. But anyway, not great on the Giants side. The benefit they do have is that the Packers forgot how to play offense. The last couple of games against the Carolina Panthers, they scored 13, and the Eagles last week on Monday night, they scored 7. And the biggest correlation to this has been the injury to Tucker Kraft. And we've seen like the inability for Romeo Doubs to really get open or catch footballs, and Christian Watson forgetting how to turn around and catch a football deep downfield. And, you know, he gets so many
of those deep shot targets, man.
He goes, and someone was like, "Did Christian Watson know he was supposed to catch this football?" And he quote tweeted it on like Tuesday or Wednesday. And he was like, "Yes, I knew." Like, it's like, no crap. So I think that here's the thing. We've seen Luke Musgrave the last couple of weeks, his utilization has went up as we expected, right? The problem is we haven't seen it in a long time since the last time he was like actually thrusted into an opportunity where he's going to get targeted in a game. He's peaked at three targets the last two games. Before that, he had three targets in week four last year against the Vikings. He had 13 yards. Before that was his rookie season in 2023. He had games of six targets, five, seven, eight. Caught 49 yards, 50 yards. Like, he can play football. We kind of forget this because Luke Musgraves went through a lot of injuries in his couple of seasons in the NFL. Lacerated kidney, torn ligaments in his ankles, concussions, mixed six games here, six games there. You kind of forget about him. He's healthy now, and I think he played 81% of the snaps this last week. I think he's going to continue to kind of grow up into that, and the target share is going to go up. And if they can utilize Musgrave even to, like, 60% of what Tucker Kraft could do, which I totally believe Musgrave has in his bag if he's healthy and on the field, I think that'll open up some more stuff downfield for guys like Dobbs and Watson. We saw Wicks get targets last week. I don't really, as far as fantasy goes, trust anything in this offense outside of Josh Jacobs. But if there's like one thing that I can kind of build a narrative towards, it's that I do believe Luke Musgrave is going to be more into the game plan here. Again, the snap share the last week,
he's just 14,
14%, 50%, 81%. And if they get him into this game plan, it's going to open up more stuff for guys like Dobbs and Watson. So that's the narrative I'll tell you. And that I will play Dobbs. He's a wide receiver three for me in the ranks. I think Musgrave is playable in certain two tight end spot situations. And then, of course, you got Jacobs, who I think is getting only healthier.
I just think that saying that you need Musgrave to get into his bag and do some of the stuff like Kraft can do is like saying – You need Michael Mayer to get into his bag and do some of the stuff that Brock Bowers can do. Do you know what I mean?
100%. But it's like, we forget Musgrave's a stud. I'm not saying he's going to be Kraft. I'm just saying.
Ever since they've gotten to the NFL, Kraft has become a legitimate yards after catch, absolute monster. Like, there's nobody no one like him. And he's also really good in the run game. He's a real benefit to the offense. And we've seen, I think you were exactly right saying, you know, this kind of look, I don't know if it's forgetting to play offense, whatever, but this definite kind of mid late season swoon that they've been on is correlated perfectly with his absence from the offense for sure. The good news is the New York Giants do present as a great get right spot here for him. Cincinnati at Pittsburgh, talk about a get right spot, dude. This game, if you look at the matchup tool, it's a sea of blue across the whole thing for all these guys, man. It's good matchups across the board, especially on the Pittsburgh side. I think this is a game where Jaylen Warren goes haywire. I think that I was interested to see that you generally, you're a big fan of looking at the DK Metcalf first quarter splits and getting in on that first quarter stuff. I saw that you didn't put any of those props in there this week, and I was going to put one in. But I wasn't sure if there was a reason why you didn't. Maybe if you buy into the whole narrative about DJ Turner being kind of the one good piece on the Bengals, secondary that has been pretty good against opposing clear number one wide receivers. I don't know. Like, was there a reason why you didn't add him? Like, you're always adding on DK Metcalf in these, and this is like the best matchup in a long time.
He's the one player. I've hit a lot of these first quarters. I've done pretty well in the first quarter. I haven't done overall well. I'm like 50-50, I think, on the year. But as far as the first quarter props go, I've done really well outside of Metcalf. I think I'm like 1-2 with Metcalf. He's the one guy that, like, when I take him, it doesn't always correlate. And two of the last 3 weeks, he hasn't hit it. So that was the only reason I didn't take him. I think it merits it, but like, I think I took four or five first quarter lines this week, and he just happened to be one that I just was like, you know what? I'm not going to like test my luck this week kind of type of situation, more of like a head game with myself.
The injuries here in this one, we just found out that Darius Slay and Alex Highsmith are both going to be out for the Steelers. We know that Hendrickson's out for the Bengals, or is he out, or is he presumed out? I think he's out. If he's not, he's out. Okay. And then is Samaje Perine officially out?
Perine and Shamar Stewart are all three out.
Okay. So Shamar Stewart, Hendrickson, Perine, it's like, dude, line things up for Chase Brown, dude. No Samaje Perine last week. What was that? 13 targets, something like crazy. So, he should be game script proof, but, I love Chase Brown in this game. I love Jaylen Warren in this game. I think you know, even this secondary, I think you play Calvin Austin. It's just the Steelers tight ends. It kind of begins to become like the Rams tight ends. Even if you love the spot, it's like such a clown car of them. It's hard to know which one to pick. I think if I had to choose one, I would choose Jonnu. Of course, like Jamar Chase is. Can you believe that Joe Flacco is since he's taken over as the quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals? He's quarterback two over that period in fantasy.
I believe it. Who's quarterback one? Caleb.
Dude, I think it was Jackson Dart. I was just looking at it earlier. I can't be sure, but I think it was. I remember. I do so much research on Fridays. This stuff gets mixed up in my head sometimes.
I think that might be right because I think he's been a top five QB three of the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, just crazy. Just the amount of volume that Jamar Chase has been getting just has his expected fantasy points over the last 6 weeks just leaps and leaps and leaps and bounds in front of him. He's it's like his per game average expected fantasy points, and clearly we know what expected fantasy points. They don't score you any points in your league. Ask people that tried to play Adonai Mitchell last night. But he's like 30 expected fantasy points per game. And that's what happens when you start getting these games with 14, 15, 16 targets and stuff. So definitely love, you know, plays from this game from all corners of it. Even, like I said, even the weird Calvin Austins and stuff of the world.
So I saw you had Jonnu on here. I don't know. I'm not sold on John. The snapshots came up the last 3 weeks. I don't like, is there, what was something that popped off to you with Jonnu? Cause I like, he hasn't even surpassed like 6 fantasy points. I mean, it's the Jerry Jeudy thing. Probably. Jerry Jeudy hadn't hit it in like 10 weeks either, but
did I not have him? I probably should have.
You got him. I mean, it's the number one it's the number one like matchup for tight ends this week. But
there was a reason for it. Did Jonnu have a big game versus them the first time? There was a reason. I remember thinking, like, I've looked into this for Jonnu. I don't remember my exact.
So that game was 33-31. Jonnu had 3 for 28 and a touchdown. Freiermuth went 5 for 111 and 2.
Yeah, so I should probably have Freiermuth ahead of Jonnu for sure.
Our consensus right now has them. We should all three of us bump both of these guys up. They're both like right on the fringe top 20.
Yeah, they should be bumped up.
Juicy matchups. That should probably be the directive. Jaylen Warren, I think you talked about him already, and you got him in the prop sheet. This is one that it feels, of all the games, like this is the worst run defense in the league, clear cut, and they're down their two edge rushers. So I love Jaylen Warren this week. As you said, he's a top 10 play. It's tough once you got up in that top 10 about trying to, like, differentiate some of these guys. It's like, oh, can I put Javonte Williams too high playing on Monday night? Do I play it? Is Jaylen Warren really worth a top five spot here? Like, yes, to a certain extent, yes. Yes, he is. On the Cincinnati side, I don't really need to say a lot. We saw Higgins finally get going this last week. Chase is going to get his targets and some more. Interestingly, the one that I was talked about on the Top 10 Thoughts show this last week was Noah Fant. I think Noah Fant's interesting. This last week he scored 10.8 fantasy points, 7 the last week before that, 14.4, 6.7 each of the last 4 games, which is just around a 10% target share. So a viable tight end play if you have guys on bye, like was it Juwan Johnson, Tyler Warren this week, or if you're in a 2 tight end spot with some injuries from Dalton Schultz or Laporta, things of that nature.
Let's get to the afternoon games here. We'll blast through these. We have the 49ers at the Cardinals. So it looks like Ricky Pearsall and Brock Purdy are going to return to this game. Bam Knight, has been limited in practice, but it seems like he's going to go. We know that Marvin Harrison Jr. is out with an appendectomy. Zay Jones is also out. So we're looking here at a Michael Wilson, Greg Dortch, Xavier Weaver.
We get our yearly Greg Dortch game, baby.
Yeah, kind of game here. And with Pearsall back, I'm interested to hear what you think about Juwan Jennings, just how this all goes. Interestingly, Cody, I just did the Blitz show with Derek Carty. His number one quarterback in raw points this week is Brock Purdy. Just barely ahead of his number two quarterback on the week, who's ahead of Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and all these other guys by the name of JJ McCarthy, which is just wild to me. How do you see the action playing out here in this one? Was Michael Wilson, I think in PPR, it feels like he could be sort of a plug and play sort of, you know, desperation flex. Just like whenever I first heard that, whenever I first heard about the appendectomy for MHJ, I thought, dude, last time we saw MHJ go out was the game he got a concussion and Jacoby was in there. I don't remember how many targets Zay Jones got, but it sure felt like Zay Jones took over that one-for-one role for him. When like Zay Jones is out, I mean, they're probably going to move Michael Wilson out there, I would think. I don't know what they're going to do. Do you like Dortch? Do you like any of this stuff? Because here's the thing. In DFS, you can triple stack this game. You can go Jacoby, Dortch, Wilson, McBride. And if you do that, you can get in Jaylen Warren, RJ Harvey, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Ja'Marr Chase for the rest of your team. And still have $2,800 to pay up for either the Jacksonville or the Chargers defense. So
I'll be honest. I don't really want to get grody like that, but like
it just doesn't feel like there's, I mean, they got to throw the ball to somebody because this running.
Yeah. Trey McBride 100 times.
You think he's just going to get 18 targets?
Yeah. Like this is kind of what we asked for.
Should we look for a prop number on his targets? Cause I'll bet you it's only sitting at 9.5.
Yeah. I think that's probably a great, it might not even be that high. I think Greg Dortch is playable. I think Michael Wilson is much more trustworthy to get your vintage 6 for 60 from him, 6 for 55, maybe catch a touchdown if they can get down there. The bigger thing in this game, I think, comes from the tight end side on the San Francisco side. I know they're getting back some guys, but I think Kittle might be the biggest winner of this whole situation. Look at the last two seasons with George Kittle and with Brock Purdy. This is like, what's a quarterback's best friend in a lot of situations where the quarterback's competent enough to realize it, or when the tight end's talented enough, it's the tight end. It's George Kittle, who was tight end 1 last year, tight end 2 in 2023. He's been pretty good the last couple of weeks, 160 yards, couple touchdowns, like targeted 18 times. I know it's been with Mac Daddy, but I think Kittle is the biggest winner in this whole situation. So I've been really close to just bumping him ahead of Bowers, to be honest with you, right behind McBride. So I think this is just the ultimate tight end game with both these guys, with McBride and with Kittle. And then the running back situation, I bumped down Zonovan Knight. I think there was the injury thing with Zonovan an hour ago. Let me double check this quick.
Oh, there's an ankle.
He's limited again today with an ankle. I bumped DeMercado a spot ahead of him just in the overall rankings, but it's not like they're top 25 or anything.
Yeah. All right. Let's go on to the, look, I think people know what to do in Seattle Rams, right?
Play your guys.
What?
That's a play your guys spot right there.
Unless your guys are Ken Walker and Zach Charbonnet.
Which, for Roster Watch Nation, hopefully you don't have.
Yeah, well, you certainly don't. I know that there are people watching that might not have used the cheat sheet. But I think in this one, look, are you at all worried about Puka Nacua and all these three tight end sets and how it seems to be affecting him? Because if you look at the expected points model, his expected points are like 18 points less than Ja'Marr Chase over the course of the last 6 weeks.
I mean, Higbee's getting worked. Higbee's getting some work in.
Feels like it. I don't know, man. Feels like on those three tight end sets that they run, he's not always out there as much. And the thing is
like the snap share hasn't been there because he's been a little banged up. It's like he's still when he's on the field getting the targets, getting the work, scoring points. He might not be scoring 35 points a game, but like he's still scoring you know 17, 22, 23, whatever. Like, yeah, I know we can be greedy and all, but some of us have Davante Adams and Puka on their roster.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about Baltimore at Cleveland. This is another weather game from Kevin Roth at RotoGrinders. He says the winds are coming off the lake with some bite. Sustained winds around 20 miles per hour, gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Winds might taper off a hair late in the game, but not much. I'm putting a touch lower on the impact scale than Buffalo because there's no precipitation, but winds are the primary issue in both spots regardless. So definite wind here. We had Denzel Ward absent from practice on Friday, so we'll keep an eye on that one. Justice Hill returned to practice Friday. Rashad Bateman did not return to practice Friday. Ronnie Stanley, a surprise DNP on Friday. Lamar has been on the injury report, but he was practicing Friday. I'm sure he's going to go. Derrick Henry's been a little bit disappointing this year, Cody, but I don't see how people are going to be able to bench him, you know, in this spot. This is must win time. It's time, you know, this is it. This is time to go. Really hard to have much faith in any Cleveland guy, as much as I hate to say it, even Quinshon. I know that Jerry Judy's been on a little bit of a, I don't know what you can call it.
One game.
Yeah. How do you see the action playing out here?
I think this game's going to suck. I think, the wind, I don't know. I misheard what you said, but like I'm reading, I just pulled it up because I didn't hear you, but 21, 22, 20 miles per hour with precipitation coming. Like this has all the makings of what the Baltimore Ravens kind of want to do, is just run it right down your throat. Get in, get out. It's a divisional game. Win this thing 21-0, 21-6. Suffocate, win the game. Derrick Henry has only rushed for over 100 yards once in his career against the Cleveland Browns in 8 attempts, 138 yards on 20 attempts, 2 rushing touchdowns in January of 2025, the last time. Not this year when they played. He averaged 2.1 yards per carry, but back in January. I like Derrick Henry. I think this Derrick Henry's getting warmed up. I think this whole Ravens team is getting warmed up. I got a ticket on Lamar Jackson to win MVP when I was in Vegas last week. I think this team's going to go on a stretch here, and they're going to win until they get to face New England. I think it's in week 14, week 15. As far as everything around here, I honestly, Alex, like it's Derrick Henry. Lamar's probably not that great of a play this week just because of the situation. Andrews might be okay. Likely he's going to be back healthy in this game. On the Brown side, like you said, it's like Judkins, but really you can't even really – it's tough. I don't really even want to play Judkins at this current point. At tight end, though, with Fannin banged up and Njoku a little bit banged up, they both – dealing with injuries this week. Fannin was limited with the hamstring 2 days. Njoku got back yesterday. I'm leaning towards bumping Njoku ahead of Fannin if that holds true through Friday.
Let me ask you, so we're going to move on to the final game here. It's the one, I don't know, probably going to be the one that people are most tuned into, I guess, but maybe not as far as the afternoon slate. Maybe the Seattle
Rams played better than last week.
Kansas City at Denver. God, last week was a rough afternoon slate. At least we got four this time, right? So J.K. Dobbins is out. Doesn't look like we're getting Sertan back. Xavier Worthy got back to practice on Friday. Pacheco didn't. Pacheco's been ruled out. How do you see things playing out here on the Chiefs side with, you know, Rashee Rice? I know that you have one prop position on Rashee Rice that I really like. What do you think about the running game? You were saying even with Pacheco out, you were interested in hammering the under on Kareem Hunt 12 and a half rushing attempts, which seems a little counterintuitive to me. Then I just think the big question on the Denver side is what are you expecting out of RJ Harvey? And I want to roll in this question that my neighbor Mo sent me, because he always has the toughest questions he sends me for his fantasy team. And basically he's saying, who would you start in your flex? Would you start RJ Harvey or Kamani Vidal? And then he sent me a screenshot, and another player who he has in consideration is DK Metcalf.
Same situation. Like that's one of the three.
Yeah. But he didn't ask about Metcalf.
He just said, I have Metcalf.
No, he just sent me a screenshot. I'm like, well, you have Metcalf too. He should probably be in consideration.
Oh,
with those guys. I mean, I consider him in the I haven't looked at the projections. I'd imagine he projects pretty, you know, I can't imagine one of them projects, you know, more than 2 points clear of the other.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you chalk that up? Like, I'd be interested to hear what you have to say about, what you have to say about, Harvey. Clearly a bunch of people are gonna have questions about him. They're gonna have tough. So it looks like projections actually kind of favor Vidal.
Yeah, I just bumped Harvey ahead of Judkins during our Baltimore talk, or Judkins below Harvey, I should say. So I have these guys two spots apart, both bottom 10 matchups. I like Vidal more than Harvey. Harvey, I think if you were to just like say like truth serum, upside happens for every game this weekend, I would take Harvey in that situation. I think the highest upside belongs to him if he can get the receiving game and the rushing game in his hands, kind of like Trayvon Henderson has gotten the last couple of weeks. The problem is I don't trust that. I don't trust that Sean Payton's going to go, hey, RJ, here's 85%. Like, I think you're going to get – you know, four backs still out of this backfield getting some work, which I don't love. So I'm going to go Vidal for that. The Rashee Rice side of the conversation, he's been one of the most effective first quarter receivers, first drive receivers over the last couple of years with Patrick Mahomes. So that's why I took the first quarter prop on him. I took him, like London, a couple other guys. Like, I just – some of these guys that, you know, when you study it, it correlates to just the first drive and – the first couple of plays, getting the targets. And Rashee Rice is so clearly the number one in this offense, ahead of Kelsey. We got Worthy with the late week post-bye injury on a Thursday, which is very worrisome to me. I didn't even rank him right now. I just took him out, and I gave Hollywood Brown quite the bump, actually, with the Worthy news last night. So I'm kind of waiting on the Chiefs Friday injury report. As I bumped up Hollywood Brown to a back-end wide receiver 3, even though it's against Denver, I get it's a tough matchup, but that's how I saw that. The Kareem Hunt thing you asked about, I think his rushing attempts number was at 12.5. He'd only hit that once this year, and it was against Baltimore, and he was hellaciously ineffective, 13 for 34 in that game. And I talked about this on the Sonic Truth Dynasty podcast last 2 weeks ago, and a little bit on Top 10 Thoughts. This 2026 rookie NFL draft class is poor. And a guy like Breshard Smith, and there's a bunch of other dudes we'll talk about. You can check them on the Dynasty Top 250 at rosterwatch.com. Running backs like Breshard Smith in these situations, like Kamani Vidal, that are going to get propelled into opportunities. Devin Neal, potentially. Breshard Smith is staring at one right now coming out of this bye. If he gets any more work and he takes advantage of it, and how long did it take from people getting upset about Trayvon Henderson to being like, whoa, look at this guy the last 3 weeks? That can happen with a guy like Breshard Smith, who hasn't played running back for that long in his career. He's an old wide receiver from the University of Miami, goes to SMU, rushes for 1,600 yards. I think Breshard Smith might bite a bigger chunk out of this backfield than many expect. So that's kind of why I was leaning towards the under on the Kareem Hunt side of the conversation.
All right, so you're leaning towards from my brother Mo down the street, right? You're leaning towards recommending Kamani Vidal in the flex over RJ Harvey. Let me just ask you, how many opportunities do you think RJ Harvey is going to have in this game? Because you said you're worried about him not getting 85%. So how many rush attempts plus targets?
Rush attempts plus targets.
Yeah, just opportunities.
Playing in a backfield with Tyler Beatty, playing in a backfield with
Jaleel McLaughlin, possibly.
Ugh. I think RJ Harvey walks out of this game with 14 touches.
Okay. So, what, 15?
Sure. 15 opportunities.
16 opportunities?
Yep.
Okay. Let me just tell you this stat. In NFL games where RJ Harvey has gotten 8 or more opportunities, 8 or more. We can agree he's going to get 8, right? The dude's just averaging a lowly little 21.95 PPR fantasy points.